Today's daf is daf Ayin Dalet in Menachos. We started the seventh parak of Menachos yesterday. Seventh parak of Menachos is going to deal with some of the more global issues regarding Menachos. Sixth parak, which we finished yesterday, which we'll come back to, dealt with specifically the Karban Omer and the Yisr Chadash and the Heter, the Matir that the Omer brings about. But now we're in the seventh parak of Menachos, and so we move now to a more global discussion. We started the Mishnah, and the Mishnah presented to us the general rule about the idea of kmitz and shirayim, that when I have a mincha, so the mincha is usually divided into two parts. The first part is the kometz, that's the fistful of flour or dough, depending on which kind of mincha it is, and that's offered up onto the mizbech, and that's burnt on the top of the mizbech, and then there's the shirayim, and the shirayim is the leftovers, and that's the part that's eaten by the kohanim. Okay, and the Mishnah gave us 10 different categories of menachos that this applies to, and Rav Papa says specifically 10, and Rav Papa says this throughout the Masechta, that it's always the magic number is going to be 10. 10 different types of menachos that you have this division of kmitza versus shirayim. Good. That is a basic point that we saw in the Mishnah. With the Mishnah ended up with the following. What if a Kohen has to bring a mincha because he was a sinner? Okay? So let's take a look at. Oh, thank you. Let's take a look at what's pulling at this carbon. On one hand, what's pulling at this carbon is that it's a. Let's call it a mincha because that's what it is. On one hand, what's pulling at this mincha is that this mincha belongs to a kohen. Okay. Rule number one when it comes to a mincha owned by a kohen, so it has to be burnt entirely on the mizbech. The Torah says lo se'achel. Kohen's not allowed to eat it. Unlike all other menachos, where the Kohen eats the Shirayim, but when it comes to the Mincha of a Kohen, so it's burnt entirely on the Mizbeach. Okay? Because there is a custom, that's the Torah's desire by the Mincha of a Kohen, totally burnt. Good. So that's one thing pulling on it. On the other hand, the other thing pulling on it is that it's a Chatas. It's a Minchas Chote. Now, we generally know by the Minchas Chote, we generally know by a Chatas, what we want is the Kohen to eat the karban, the mincha. Why? So that the owner will get a kapara. Okay, good. So this is a mincha schote. Now, as a karban of a kohen, it needs to totally be burnt. As a mincha schote, you would like it to be part of it burnt on the mizbeach, the komet, and the remainder in the shirayim to be eaten by the kohanim. So what do you do? So in our Mishnah, we had one explicit opinion and kind of an implicit opinion. Well, the explicit opinion is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that, you know what you do with it? You do both. Meaning, you take off a kmitza, you leave shirayim, and then you take them both, and you burn them both up on the mizbeach. Okay? Funny conclusion, but that's how you're miyashiv, that's how you make a resolution between the two things pulling at this mincha.
That's not eating, though.
Correct. Correct.
I mean, I could see the logic behind the eating, but I don't know how doing just makes it like eating.
Correct. It's not if it helps you, it's not the accepted opinion. I don't know if that's, you know, that's not a, that doesn't answer your question.
Logically, it's like, I don't know.
Correct. Correct. Hard to understand. Listen, it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. I mean, he's and it is Lag BaOmer. It is Lag BaOmer. So you know. We don't always enter into his das, into his mindset, and it's hard to totally understand what he's thinking. But okay, anyway, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, good. That's what we saw. That's the explicit opinion in the Mishnah. The implicit opinion in the Mishnah, which the Mishnah doesn't say this, but you get the feeling that the Mishnah is saying this, is that I don't agree. Meaning, that's not what you should do. The Mishnah does not say what the other position is. Okay, if I'm a betting man, well, I don't have to be a betting man because that's where we're going to start today in the Gemara. So the Gemara today is going to start exactly with this Nakuda, this point in the Mishnah. We are, today's daf is daf Ayin Dalet. We're going to start on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We're starting at the two dots towards the bottom of the page, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. Rabbi Shimon Amar Minchas Kohanim Minchas Chote Shal Kohanim. Okay. Amina Hanimili, we start at the Gemara Detan Rabbanan. How do I know this? The Gemara says, I'll quote a Braisa. V'haisa l'kohen kim mincha. It will be to the Kohen like a mincha. Okay, this is a pasuk regarding the mincha of the chote, the mincha of the sinner, sheteya borisak sherabo. So the first point that the Braisa makes is that he could do the avoda, meaning even if it's his chet, even if it's his own chet, he can do the avoda. You may have made the argument, which we'll talk later on about this morning, is that, look, I understand how the Kohen can facilitate for somebody else. Meaning, I go to the Kohen, I sinned, and the Kohen is going to facilitate, and he's going to bring me my Karban Chatas, and he's going to help facilitate my Kapara, my atonement. But for himself, you know, it's kind of hard to get yourself out of trouble. So the Gemara says that's the first point of the Braisa. The Avodah Sak Sherabo. He can do it himself. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. Well, maybe the Torah is driving at another point, which is, meaning, look, what the Torah says, it's just like a mincha. Meaning, maybe the Torah is driving at the idea that Kohen should be able to eat it like a regular mincha, even though he's the one bringing it. What do I do with the pasuk in Parshat Tzav that says that if a Kohen brings a mincha, it's got to be burnt? And lo se achel, and there is a prohibition of a Kohen eating a mincha offered by a Kohen. So minchas nedava nidvaso, and that's talking about a nedava. That's talking about a voluntary mincha. Avachol vaso, but if it's obligatory, i.e., it's a minchas chote tehei nechelas. So maybe this is a havamina. This is a suggestion. So maybe it should be eaten. Tamalam Rav Ahisal Kohen kemincha. No, there's a hekesh, there's a connection between this obligation and an endava. So the Braisa says, cannot be eaten. Simply cannot be eaten. The nedava and the chova, the voluntary and obligatory mincha of a kohen is not to be eaten. The overarching rule is that once a kohen brings a mincha, that's it. He can't eat it. He can't eat it. Neither can any other kohen eat it. That's the overarching rule. So even though it is a mincha schote, and you could make an argument, well, somebody's got to eat it. No, if the kohen is the one bringing it, he can eat it. The only thing we're going to deduce from the pasuk, because the Torah does compare it to a regular mincha, is he could do it. He could bring it. Not that he can eat it. He can't eat it, but he can bring it himself. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Now, this is a continuation of the Braisa. So the first point that was made in the Braisa is that a Kohen is not allowed to eat the mincha that he brings, even if it's obligatory. Amar Rabbi Shimon v'chinemar v'aisal ha-Kohen kemincha. So, v'alolo nemar ela kemincha. It doesn't say it should be kemincha so, it should be, it just simply says mincha. Ela hakish minchas chote shekohanim kemincha's chote shel Yisrael. So in a certain respect, you got to treat it like a regular mincha. Okay, what do we do with a regular mincha? That's the first thing we learned in the seventh parak of Menachos. Kometz shirayim. So here also, you got to treat it like a regular mincha. Kometz shirayim. Ma minchas chote shel Yisrael nikmetzes, haf minchas chote shel kohanim nikmetzes. So the Gemara says, okay, good. Why don't we just continue? Finish the sentence. Ima minchas chote shel Yisrael nikmetzes v'sheir nechalam, haf minchas chote shel kohanim nikmetzes v'sheir nechalam. Okay, so if you finish the thought, you'd realize, okay, Rabbi Shimon, you're going to walk in now into the obvious conclusion. And it's a trap. Meaning, what you're going to result in is that you do kemitza, and you know what happens every time you do kemitza? You eat the shirayim. So you want to tell me that the minchas chote that's brought by a kohen, you're going to eat the shirayim? Tamalamar lekohen kemincha, lekohen kemincha, velo leishim kemincha. Now, vis-a-vis the kohen, we're going to treat it like a mincha, meaning he's going to do the kemitza. There'll be shirayim. Vis-a-vis the fire, we don't treat it like a regular mincha, meaning a regular mincha, only the kometz is burnt on the fire. For this mincha of a kohen, the whole thing is going to be burnt on the fire. Ha ketzan, kometz krav ba'atzman v'shirayim kraven ba'atzman. So you're gonna treat it like a regular mincha in that you're gonna do a kometz and you're gonna have shirayim, but that's it. That's where it stops. After that point in time, it all is gonna get thrown on the fire. It's all gonna get burnt on the fire. Okay, in this braisa, really, we didn't gain any new information. Meaning, basically, we're at the same place we were when we learned the Mishnah, right? But things are spelled out a little bit clearer. Meaning that there is a Tanakhama, right? And the Tana Kama says that you don't do Komets and Shirayim by the Minchas Chote of a Kohen. You just take the whole thing and you burn it up onto the Mizbech like you would do with any Mincha of a Kohen. And there's no Komets and Shirayim. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says no. There's Komets and Shirayim. Why? Because it is a Minchas Chote. And the Torah says you treat it like a regular Mincha. And Rabbi Shimon says, not all the way like a regular Mincha, not to the point where you're going to eat the Shirayim, but enough. Enough so that you're going to take off Komets, you're going to obviously have Shirayim, but then you take both and you put it up onto the Mizbeach.
You can argue from another angle in terms of, you could say that any time there's Shirayim that has to be consumed, you need a matter for it. The matter is Komets.
Right.
And then you could argue that since the consumer here is not the person, but is the
Mizbeach
getting burned,
right.
So the Komets is the matter for the Mizbeach.
Yeah, but if you're right, so then that always should be true. Meaning not a obligatory mincha. Let's go with a regular voluntary mincha of a Kohen. So then your argument should be, same story. There should be Komets and there should be Shirayim. And we know that's not true. We know that when it comes to a regular voluntary offering of a Kohen, it's not divided, Komets Shirayim. Okay? All right. Hashtei avodasak shira bo mehacha nafka mehasa nafka. The Gemara says, look, the first point that we made in this Braisa, a Kohen sins. Okay? He happens to be in a great position. He's a Kohen. So in other words, he does the avoda. So he can bring his own chatas. In this case, minchas chote. Okay? And the Braisa says that's fine. Not a big deal. That's totally fine. So the Gemara is not going to challenge that that point. Meaning, everybody agrees that if a Kohen is bringing his own chatas, that works. He can do that. He's in a position to do that. So that point is never going to be challenged. What the Gemara will challenge is the source of this halacha. Previously, the Gemara learned it out from the pasuk of Ahisala Kohen Kemincha, right? In the end of Parshas Vayikra and Perek Hay. The Gemara says we have other places where we learn exactly this point. So, Hashitei avodasak sherebo mehacha nafka mehasam nafka. We learn it from a different place. Minayin lekohen shabau makriv karbonosav v'chol eis v'chol shah shiyirtza. First of all, Kohen basically can do the avoda anytime he wants. Now, there is a system. We talked about the system many times. There is a system because we divide the Kohanim, and the Kohanim are divided. Originally, it was divided into groups of eights, and then later on by David and Shlomo was divided into groups of 24. Each one of those groups is called a Mishmar. A Mishmar worked in the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week cycle of 24. So they work about 2 weeks out of the year, meaning that they're going to go up to the Beis HaMikdash and work right once every 24 weeks. So in a year, that's about two times a year. And then there's a further subdivision of it, where then the Mishmar is broken up into Bate Avos, and each Beit Av works for 1 day of those 24. So, truth be told is that when you're a Kohen in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you worked about 2 days a year.
Not bad.
Not bad. Right. It's not bad. Minay leKohen Shabbat u'makriv karbonasa v'chol eitz v'chol shah ashiyirtza. However, really, you're not limited, meaning, if at any point in time you want to go to the Beis HaMikdash and you want to do the avoda, you may do the avoda. Tamalomer uva b'chol avas nafsho b'shareis. Torah says it pretty clearly that you're going to go b'chol avas nafsho anytime you want, anytime you desire, b'shareis, and you serve. All right. So Kohen really has license to do the avoda anytime he wants. So the Gemara says, good, but that's not enough. Meaning, we're making a much stronger point. We're not just saying that he can do the avoda anytime he wants. What we're saying is that he can bring his own carbon chatas. Right? You hear the difference. Something that's coming for a sin, you may have thought that the Kohen doesn't have the right to do because he's biased, he's partial. He wants the kapara. I don't know what could go wrong, but you understand, though. Intuitively, I do understand. It's a bigger chiddush to say that he can bring his own carbon chatas. The Gemara says, okay, but I even have another pasuk for that as well. The pasuk says that the Kohen provides al hanefesh ashogeges over the soul that sins bichata bishkaga. Malamisha Kohen miskaper al yidei atzma. even for his own shkaga, even for his own goof, he can bring his own kapara. All right, so we have another pasuk. So again, the whole issue over here is what the source of this halacha is. Everyone agrees to the halacha. It's just a question of what the source is. So now we have a pasuk in Parsha Shlach, which we just quoted. We have a pasuk from Parshas Vayikra, which we started the whole discussion. And both of them are pointing to the same basic idea that if a Kohen sins, he can bring his own carbon chatas. I might have thought that he could bring a carbon if he goofed, right? If it was a shogeg, if it was inadvertent, right? Inadvertent means, like we say all the time, not that you know it was, he didn't know what he was doing. He knew what he was doing, but he forgot the halacha. He forgot the circumstances. He didn't realize that today was Shabbos and not Sunday. Okay, so in other words, that's in the case of shogeg. But if it was a mazid, let's imagine that the Kohen did an avera be mazid.
What would it be karma?
Okay, the Gemara's next question. You're right on. So if he did it be mazid, so then you could venture to say he can't bring his own karban, kamash malan, that even if he did it be mazid, he could still bring his own karban. Gemara now asks the next question, which is Ben's question, which is, should be intuitively the next place you should go to. Be mazid hechi mishkachala. So the Gemara says, where do you have that? Where is it that you bring a carbon for violating an Issa B'mezid? And the Gemara says, yeah, it's out there. There are a couple of exceptions. It's not the rule. The rule is, there is no carbon for Mezid, for intentionally violating an Issa in the Torah. But there are a couple of exceptions, B'zadon Shvua, with the sin of Shvua. The Gemara is not particularly clear about when it is a person brings a carbon, even b'mezid.
If b'mezid, the teshuva cannot do green plant.
Huh?
Even if he does teshuva for the b'mezid.
Then he denied knowing testimony. So
Rashi brings down, perfect, Ben. So there is an issur in the Torah where if you violate it intentionally, you still have a chance to bring a carbon. Now again, that's not the rule. Now think about it, because it makes a lot of sense. The whole idea of carbon is that, look, you weren't bad, meaning you didn't do it with malintent. You were just clumsy. Okay, you thought today was Sunday when meanwhile today was Shabbos. Okay, and you started cooking. Right, you're clumsy. So it's not malintent. So the Torah says, look, you still have what to answer for, and you have a process in which you could do tshuva, and that is bring a carbon. Okay, but when it comes to intentional, usually the Torah does not say, here, bring a carbon and everything will be fine. Usually it's intentional, obviously, depending on what the chait is, but usually the Torah says, now you gotta...
Can I do teshuva for it?
Of course you could do teshuva for it, but the punishment is going to be a more harsher punishment. The punishment could be malchus, it could be, if it's a capital offense, could be skila or srefa. But you don't have a carbon, you don't usually get the carbon option. There is, however, one isser. Maybe there's more than one.
There's four.
There's four, huh?
Four.
Okay, good. Crack research team. Yeah. So so Rashi only points to one. Okay, I'll go through the one that Rashi goes through, and then you'll add to my knowledge base. The Rashi points to one, and it, by the way, the one that Rashi points to makes a lot of sense. Which one does Rashi say you're going to? You can bring a carbon even if you do it intentionally. Shmias kol. Shmias kol means suppression of testimony, and that means that someone comes over to you and says to you, you know, did you see what happened? And you saw exactly what happened, and you had testimony, and you said nope, didn't see what happened. I don't know what you're talking about. And you suppress your testimony, and they say to you, could you please swear that you don't know? And you swear that you don't know, and then later on you say, I knew. So you have a carbon. That's one of the carbon all of the orate. That's one of the three flexible carbonos. Now, even if you knew that you're not supposed to suppress the testimony, and even though you knew full well that the Torah says, right? That you got to step forward and you got to testify in Beis Din. You still have an option of bringing a carbon as a kapara. Rashi writes, I read from Rashi the Ksav Yad, right? The manuscript Rashi. Va'avachatas da'asya amezik kegon minchas choti dechsev ashmias kol va'aminu b'krisus arba mivin ala zadon kishkaga ashmias kol mitaloksev v'nei alam. Yeah, you're right, by the way. Rashi does say there are four of them, and then Rashi only points to shmias kol. The other three, I don't know.
The three are
Shivcha Harufa, right? Shivcha Harufa is one of them.
And then another who?
Which one, Shivcha
Harufa? You're right, right? That's Mezid Shoge Kamezid.
What are the other two?
Oh, Shvuot Bikadon. Oh, Shvuot Bikadon.
And Nazir becomes Tame.
And the Nazir being Tame.
So okay.
Shavuot HaPikadon is that you are asked to be a custodian. You watch somebody's object, and then he says you can have the object back. Right. Shmias Kol, by the way, to me, this is just me talking now, is so intuitive, because everyone, I don't know if everyone knows that feeling, but you know, you get subpoenaed and you have to go to court and you want to testify in court, and you know, intuitively, it's the right thing to do is to go to court and to testify, but intuitively that feeling of I don't want to go to court, right? In other words, and not only that, by the way, but we also have the issue of Lashon Hara, meaning a fine line, and it is a fine line between testifying in court and speaking Lashon Hara, right? And where is that line? Meaning, when is it Lashon Hara versus when is it, you know, I'm doing a mitzvah and I'm testifying in court? And the answer is, and it's not like a winning answer, but it is the right answer. The answer is that I testify in court when my testimony has, you know, there's a basis and Beis Din can act on it. And for example, let's say I'm the only person who saw something happen, and there was no one else that saw it with me. There's no point in testifying. I'm only one witness. So that's now Lashon Hara. So you can almost justify the person, even though he knows he should go to court, and even though he knows it's the right thing, but it's excusable, so to say. It's not. But the idea that you can bring a carbon, even though mazed, you know that you should have gone to court, and you know that you should have given testimony, but it's intuitive that the Torah still gives you a carbon opportunity to be mechaper, because it's to a certain degree, right? A sliver, a certain degree, it's excusable that you said, you know, I don't know anything.
But it's special to Kohen. I'd rather bring carbon than
go. Right. It's understood.
What was the second one that you said?
Second one, Shmias Kol is the one that Rashi points to. The other one that we talked about is Shvuos HaPikadon. Right. There, it's not really that excusable, right? Somebody, you asked to trade, you know, to hold something for somebody, and then he asks you for the object, and you say, I don't know what you're talking about. You deny having the object. So there, I don't know what the excuse would be.
There was something.
And they. Shivcha Harufa, let's not talk about it. It's aside from it being very complicated there, I don't even know what the logic is behind that. The only one that really speaks to me is the one Rashi quotes, which is Shmias Kol. That one I totally understand in terms of why Mazid should be like Shogun. Okay. Alright. Let's go on to the Gemara. Sorry. So the Gemara says Bemezid Echemishkachla Bezadon Shvuah. Okay. Good. Tanya. We continue in the Gemara. We're on Ayin Dal Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of the Amud. We're starting now with another Braisa, and it's going to be similar discussion, right? Whenever you see the words Tanya Idach, meaning the Gemara says, here I have another Braisa that basically speaks to the same idea. Rabbi Shimon Omer Minchas Chotze Shekhanim Nikmesis Vakomitz Korab Bifnei Atzma Vishirayim Kraven Bifnei Atzma. So first we start off with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, again, Lag Bomer. Okay. Rabbi Shimon says that you divide it, the minchas choti of a kohen, and the kometz goes up on the mizbech, and the shirem go up on the mizbech as well. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, okay, that the Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, says no. Son disagreeing with his father, strange, right? And they spent all those years in the cave together. I don't know.
What was
I don't know.
Besides his father?
Eddie, these are questions I don't know the answers to. They're good questions. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaKomitz Krav Batma, Vishirai Mispazma Beis Hadeshen. Now, his point of dissent with his father is not that dramatic. Meaning, they agree on pretty much everything, except for how you dispose of the Shirayim. The father says, Rabbi Shimon says, that you burn up onto the Mizbeach. The son says, no, don't burn on Mizbeach, but rather burn it by the Beis HaDeshen. Beis HaDeshen is that place right next to the ramp on the Mizbeach, where the ash pit, where I take the ashes off the Mizbeach daily, and I place it right by Beis HaDeshen, on the Beis HaDeshen. There's another area also outside the Mizbeach, but outside the Azara, but we're not...
Is that what we do with what they would do with the animal part? I mean, is that...
Maybe no, the animal parts are burnt on the Mizbeach. Not the Beis HaDeshen. The only thing that's burned in the Beis HaDeshen, some of them are, which are disqualified, are burnt on the Beis HaDeshen. Over here, we're not talking about something which is disqualified. We're simply talking about the Shirayim. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Havibar Rav Yochanan, Beis HaDeshen Dehecha. So the Gemara says, which can we be clearer about this? Which Beis HaDeshen are we talking about? So Idol Amala Hainu Avot. Look, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon can't be talking about the Beis HaDeshen that's on the Mizbeach, because then it would be that Rabbi Elazar is in total agreement with his father. And we would like that, but we know that in this issue he doesn't agree with his father. He obviously takes a contradicting position. So that can't be. So Ido Lamata, Yishcha Davar Shekrav Lamata. But Rabbi Yochanan says, but I don't understand that. So that only leaves me with the conclusion that the place where I burn the Shirayim of the Minchas Kohen, the Minchas Chote of the Kohen, is on the ground floor of the Azara. What carbon gets burnt on the ground floor of the Azara? So Amalei Rabbi Abba, Domali Ibud. So Rabbi Abba says, okay, but maybe that's not the point. Maybe the point is not to burn it. Maybe the point is just simply to dispose of it. Meaning, it could be that Rebbe Elazar's position is, look, it's Shirayim that can't be eaten. Right? It's Shirayim because we took off a Kometz. It can't be eaten because it's owned by a Kohen. The Mincha is owned by a Kohen. So maybe the whole point is not to burn it, just simply to dispose of it. Okay? That's a suggestion in terms of understanding Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Achichu Allah. So they didn't like this pshat. They ridiculed the pshat. V'chi yesh lecha davar shekrav li'ibud. Really, that's what we want, right? We want to dispose of your karbanos. That's you want to eat your karban. You want to burn your karban, but just simply li'ibud, just to get rid of it. Okay, Gemara awkwardly ends that discussion over there. Tani avur de Rabbi Avin kol menchas kohen kalil tia lo se'achal. Any mincha of a kohen kalil tiyah needs to be totally destroyed. Lo se achel, you can't eat it. So la'achila ikshitiyah v'lo ledavar acher. That only means the prohibition of eating, not for anything else. What my kamar? What does that mean? I'm Rabbi Achi kamar. Kol minchas kohen lo se achel chovaso. Any mincha of a kohen cannot be eaten. And that's talking about the obligatory carbon of a kohen, i.e., he sins. And now he's obligated to bring a carbon. Kalil tiyeh, and it's totally burnt, nidvaso. That's the voluntary offering of a kohen, where that's going to get totally burnt. So meaning what we did is we took this pasuk and we did dissection on the pasuk, right? Surgery. We took the pasuk and we divided it into two parts. When it's an obligatory offering, so then we're going to say lo se'achel, meaning the prohibition is just simply can't eat it. Doesn't mean that the whole thing is going to get burnt on the Mizbeach. And when the pasuk says kalil tiyeh, that's talking about the voluntary offering, where the whole thing does get burnt up on the Mizbeach. Obviously, this would be supportive of which Tana? I would say Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Shimon, they're both burnt on the Mizbeach. If you ask me, I would say that this is supportive of Rebbe Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Amalei Rava Sakina Harifa Mafsika Cry. So Rava says, wow, that was a nice knife you took out to cut up the pasuk, right? A sharp knife to take a pasuk and divide it into half. And not only did you divide the pasuk into half, but you awkwardly spliced it. Ela Amarava, Kol Minchas Kohen Kalutiye Nidvaso. Every mincha of a kohen will be totally destroyed, totally burnt. That's talking about his nedava. Lo se'achel chovaso. But when it comes to the prohibition of eating, that's talking about his chova, his obligation. When it comes to his obligatory carbon of a kohen, again, we're talking about the minchas chote of a kohen. So then the prohibition is only lo se'achel. Ve'epoch ana. The Gemara says, why don't you flip it around? Meaning maybe the prohibition of burning or the obligation to burn is going on his chova. Maybe the obligation of the iser of not eating is going on his voluntary. So mistabar nidvaso havale l'ribuye. The Gemara says, look, intuitively, if we're going to include anything, it's going to be his nedava. Why? Shekain. And again, the Gemara now is going to look for similarities. What are the similarities between the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol and the other minachos that are brought by the Kohen? Okay? By the minchas chavitin, again, we know that there are two things going on. It has to be totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and there's an Isser of Lo Se'achel. So, I want to compare the minchas chavitin of the Kohen Gadol to the mincha of a Kohen. Which is it more comparable to? The voluntary mincha of the Kohen or the obligatory mincha of the Kohen? So again, by the way, the job now of all of us in the room is to keep score, because we're going to see what it is, what it has more similarities to. So, Havalei Rebusha Kein Tadira. So the Gemara says, on one hand, the minchas chavit and the Kohen Gadol is daily. The voluntary offerings of a Kohen is, the Gemara calls, common. More common than the minchas chote of the Kohen. Lo chati, okay, that's one. Two, there's no chet involved. Minchas chavitin, there's simply no chet, meaning it's just simply the obligation of the Kohen Gadol to bring a minchas chavitin every day. If a Kohen wants to volunteer a mincha, no, there's no chet, it's a voluntary offering. And finally, number three, basim reche. Smells good. Right, smells good. Minchas chavitin has oil and lavona. Minchas nedava of a Kohen has oil and lavona. Minchas chote, no oil, no lavona. Doesn't smell that good. All right, so that is three. What about adraba? Chavos ava l'rebuy shekain. So let's look at the similarities between the minchas chavitin and the minchas chote. Number one, isaron, the amount of flour that's used. By the minchas chavitin, as we already learned, it's the amount is that you use is one isaron, which is divided, half of it in the morning, half in the afternoon. Minchas chote, it's an isaron. A minchas nedava, it could be an isaron, could also be more. Chova, I'm sorry, shekein isaron, two, chova. Number two, it's an obligation. Meaning when you're a Kohen Gadol, you don't have an option. You have to bring the Minchas Chavitin every day. If you're a sinner, you don't have an option. You have to bring the Minchas Chote. So in those two regards, the Minchas Chavitin is similar to the Mincha of the Minchas Chote. So what's the final score? 3-2. Okay, low scoring game today. Okay, so 3-2, Hanach Defishin. So obviously we're going to compare it to a Mincha of a Nedava. V'Rabbanan Haikol Minchas Kohen Kaloti Yalo Se'echa Amai Avidlei. Now, according to the Chachamim, what do they do with this pasuk? Because as we pointed out, the pasuk speaks well for Rabbi Shimon, speaks even better for Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. But according to the Chachamim, they say that when a Kohen brings his Minchas Chote, it's totally burnt on the Mizbech. Okay, so what do you do with this pasuk? So the Gemara says, don't worry, there are other things that we need the pasuk for. Look, I know that by the Minchas Chavitim, there's a mitzvah of Kalil Tachtar. I know by a Minchas Kohen, there's an Isser of Lo Se'achel. How do I know that the Kalil Tachtar and Lo Se'achel are inverted? Meaning that by the Mincha of a Kohen, I also have the mitzvah of Kalil Tachtar. By Minchas Chavitin, I also have the Isser of Lo Se'achel. Tamalomer Kalil Kalil Ligzeri Shavar. Nemer Kan Kalil V'Nemer La'alan Kalil Ma'la'alan B'Kalil Tachtar Avkan B'Kalil Tachtar U'ma'kan Liten Lo Sa'asei Al Achilaso Avla'alan Liten Lo Sa'asei Al Achilaso. Okay? Mincha of a Kohen has two things. Number one, the Isser of Lo Se'achel and the mitzvah of Kalil Tachtar. Obviously, the Isser and the mitzvah basically speak to the same idea, which is, you burn it on the Mizbeach, but good. Even though it speaks to the same idea, it's an asay and a los asay. Bai Ravina, finishing up. Kohen she'achal min ha'imurim. Mahu. If you have a Kohen who eats from the imurim. Meaning we've learned now, we've established now, that a mincha of a kohen has to be burnt on the mizbeach. And because of that, if a kohen is not allowed to eat it, meaning that there is a correlation between the mitzvah of burning something on the mizbeach and the prohibition of a kohen eating it. Okay, so the Gemara says, does that extend for everything? Meaning, I have now, let's talk about the imurim of a karban. We're not talking about a mincha now, we're talking about a karban. The imurim of the parts of the animal, the insides of the animal that go up onto the mizbeach. Now, let's not talk about the chalev. Okay, let's not talk about the chalev. Because chalev anyway, no one's allowed to eat. So let's not talk about the chalev. So let's talk about some of the more delicious parts of the animal that go up onto the mizbeach. Rashi over here writes, klayos yoseris hakaved. Okay, so I'm not going to convince you that the kidneys are the most delicious part. Anyone here eat kidneys?
What are you looking at?
Yeah, right?
Kidneys are very delicious. Just like the brain.
I had a feeling. I had a feeling. And the Yoseris HaKavod. Yoseris HaKavod is the diaphragm. That we all eat the diaphragm.
That's curd steak.
That's curd
steak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Curd steak is the diaphragm.
Very good. That's what I was told.
Very good. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It says that.
Oh, yeah?
In Israel, they kill this.
I'm like sure in Israel, they, yeah.
They kill this for sure.
Oh, for sure. So a kohen, so you have a karban. Okay, so we're not talking about the chalev now, because that's us, sir, for everybody. But the kohen eats the kidneys and the diaphragm of a karban. So did he just violate the issur of lo se'achel? So the Gemara says, my hu lav de zaros lo kami baile, ki kami baile lav de kalil tiyeh. So the Gemara says, look, a non-kohen eating it, so that's not the issue. The issue is, did he violate the issur of kalil tiyeh? Meaning that it's part of the animal that needs to be burnt on the mizbeach. So did he violate that iser? Amar Rav Aaron la Ravina Tashma the Tanya Rav Elazar Amar Koshu beKalil Tiyeh Litein Lo Sase Al Achilaso. This is a true correlation that applies to everything. Anything that needs to be burnt on the mizbeach, there comes attached with it an iser of Lo Se'achel. So we were talking in terms of the Menachos and the Mincha V'Kohen. Kalil Tiyeh Lo Se'achel. But really, it's true for anything. Anything that needs to be burned on the Mizbeach, like the Klayos and the Yoseris Kavod of a Karban, Isser of Lo Se'achel. Simple question, simple answer. The Gemara should always be like this. It's not always like this. Minchas Kohanim, next Mishnah. Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, Minchas Nesachim, Mizbeach, Ve'ein Behem LeKohanim. Certain things which are totally earmarked for the Mizbeach, totally not for the Kohanim, and it's a short list. The Mincha of a Kohen, okay. Mincha Kohen of the Minchas Kohen Gadol, right, what we just spoke about, the Minchas Chavitin, and the Minchas Nesachim, your accessories to a karban, flour and oil, and wine, okay. Go totally on the Mizbeach, nothing for the Kohanim. You didn't expect such a short list, right? That's it. Meaning those are the three items, and the only three items which are exclusively to the Mizbeach, and none of it go to the Kohanim. The Gemara is going to say, I can think of a couple more, but wait for the Gemara. The Gemara is going to try to suggest some more. So this is where the Mizbeach is stronger than the Kohanim. Okay, this is on these areas, the Mizbeach's got the upper hand. Okay, now let's go the other direction. Shtei alachem v'lachem apanim. Now, when the two loaves that are brought in Shavuos and the lechem apanim, the weekly bread, it's not called a bread, but mincha, that the 12 loaves that are placed on the shulchan in the mizbeach, nechal mekohanim ve'en b'hem lemizbeach. So they are exclusively to the kohanim, none of it go on to the mizbeach. V'zeh yapakolach kohanim mikolach mizbeach, and there's where the kohanim have the upper hand. And again, a really short list of things that go exclusively to the Kohen, not to the Mizbeach.
But they both have like a
message. Is that anything?
Well, the Mishnah?
Yeah.
Well, the Mishnah, yes, because as you'll see the Gemara, by the Mishnah not talking about other things, you see that the Mishnah is obviously excluding certain positions.
But I think it's that both Yishtei Alechem and Alechem Afanim, they both have their own matters that do go on the Mizbeach. You know,
correct. But the matter... You're absolutely correct, but the matir is not coming from it. The matir is something external. You don't have that by any other mincha. Okay? So, Gemara, the Gemara says, Vesu Leika, really? That's it? That's your whole list? The Ha'ika Ola. So the Gemara says, what about a carbon ola? Right, let's start there. That should be easy. Carbon ola is totally burnt on the Mizbech. Kohen doesn't get to eat any of the carbon ola. So the Gemara says, Ika Ola. No? The hides of the animal. Hides of the animal go to the Kohanim. So you see now, in other words, now we have a better understanding of the Mishnah. The Mishnah's talking about where an entire item is placed onto the Mizbech and Kohen get none of it. So even the Ola, which is, by definition, something which is totally burnt on the Mizbeach, but the hides get to be kept by the Kohanim, right? They come home with the hides from that day. They get new shoes and they get new belts and maybe even a purse for the wife. In other words, that's... So, okay, so that doesn't make the Mishnah. Ika Ora the Kohanim. Okay. V'ha Ika Ola Sa'of. Yeah. What about the Ola Sa'of? The bird Ola. Which, there's no hide of the bird Ola. Ika Mura Venotza. No, because what you do is you take out the crop and the gizzard, and before burning the Ola Sa'of on the Mizbeach, you pull out the crop and gizzard, and do you remember... We discussed in Zvachim, you throw it. You throw it to the northeast side of the Mizbeach. And remember, I remember this so clearly. Sometimes the southeast side was occupied, and you had to go to the southwest side, and that was where the Kohen needed his strength to throw it all the way from the southeast corner, corner, right, all the way down to the Beis HaDeshen. Anyway. Point is, it's not totally burnt on the Mizbeach.
It still doesn't go to the Kohanim.
Correct, but we're looking for something that's totally going on the Mizbeach. The Ha'ika Nesachim, so the Gemara says, why don't you give Nesachim as an example? So the Gemara says, L'shita Nazli, because it's not burnt on the Mizbeach. It's poured down the tubes of the Mizbeach, and that's not what the Mishnah is looking at. The Mishnah is looking at things which are burnt on the Mizbeach. Umay Bezu. And the Mishnah says, "Uvezeh yafek koach mizbech mikoach kohanim." What's the Mishnah trying to tell us over there? La'fugim edeshmol damreshmol mesnadev yai meviu mezafal gabe ishin kamash malan dilashita nazlei. So the Gemara says, because Shmuel says that when a person donates wine, meaning you can donate wine. If a person wants to donate wine as a karban, so Shmuel takes a position. Well. If we treat it like a carbon, you burn the Mizbeach. So Shmuel says, take the wine and actually sprinkle it onto the Mizbeach. Remember, we had it was a great discussion. Tosfos, if I remember correctly, discussed this. Well, aren't you putting out the fire on the Mizbeach? And didn't you violate the Isser of Lo Sichbeh, right, of not extinguishing the Mizbeach, right? And it's a Psik Reisha, and Tosfos took us to the discussion of, yeah, but it's lo nichale. It's Dervishin Miskaven, it's lo nichale. Okay. Kamash malan delashita nasle. So the Gemara says, the point of our Mishnah is that the Mishnah does not subscribe to the viewpoint of Shmuel, even though historically Shmuel comes well after the Mishnah, but it's not that Shmuel innovated this idea. This idea must have predated Shmuel, and the Mishnah's point is, I don't subscribe to that idea. Wine is not sprinkled on the fire of the Mizbech, it's poured down the tubes of the Mizbech. On the other hand, however, it does support Shmuel. Shmuel says that if a person is Miznadev Shemen, what if you bring oil? Now, if you bring oil onto the Mizbeach, meaning not an animal, not birds, just oil. So you can. Oil can be treated as a self-standing carbon. So what do you do with it? So Shmuel's of the opinion, comments. Now, again, we talked about this so many times. It's a tricky, it's a bit of a trick to take your fist, put it in, and do it with oil. Right. So maybe we're talking about it where it's extraordinarily thick, or maybe we're talking about where you allow it to congeal, because oil will congeal. So, okay. So, anyway, so Shmuel says that you take off kemitz and the rest of it is eaten by the Kohanim. Our Mishnah supports that. Because think about it. Had we disagreed with Shmuel, we would have burnt all the oil on the Mizbeach, and oil would have been included in the list in the Mishnah. Okay. Finishing up. Now we're talking about the list of things which go exclusively to the Kohanim. And now we're talking about the things that didn't make it to the Mishnah. The Mishnah has an extremely short list. The Mishnah was only Shtei Alechem, Lechem upon him. That's it. So the Gemara says, what about Chatas Ha'of? A bird Chatas. Now the Gemara doesn't even suggest the Chatas animal, because we know parts of that go up onto the Mizbeach. But the bird Chatas, though, goes exclusively to the Kohanim. So Ika Dama. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you think it through, you realize that blood goes, it's sprinkled on the Mizbeach, so the Kohanim don't get everything. And our Mishnah means everything. The Ha'ika Log Shem and Shal Mitzara. What about the Log Shem and Mitzara Ika Matnosav? So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's not true, because part of the Log Shem and the Mitzara is applied to the Mitzara. So the Kohen doesn't get all of it. There is an opinion out there. We saw this opinion earlier, that if the Shtei Alechem is brought by itself without the Kivsei Atzeres, it is burnt up onto the Mizbeach. And the point of our Mishnah is that we don't subscribe to that viewpoint. Our Mishnah does not subscribe to that viewpoint. The Shtei Alechem is never burnt. It's always going to be consumed. Okay. It always will go to the Kohanim. Good. Stop over here. Pick it up from the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. I told you, the expectation should be put the pressure on. We should be up to speed every day now that we have two Rashis, regular Rashi and Ksav Yad Rashi.